to thank the Lord for the opportunity that I have to give a testimony with you here today and to share with you what God has done in our lives. And by way of introduction to those of you who have not had an opportunity to introduce myself to personally, my name is Peter Ryan, and I have with me here today my wonderful wife, Ruth, who is out walking there she is. Also here today, Ruth has blessed me with three children, and I have the unique pleasure of having two of those with me here today, my son Timothy and my daughter Cindy Duhon, and she has our son-in-law Matt with them, and then we have Wallace Duhon, four-year-old grandson, and the one that wants to give me some competition is one-year-old Daphne. But it is a real blessing to have grandchildren. This is two of the eight grandchildren that we have. And as I share with you the testimony here today, I think I would like to first share with you how it is that we came to know the Grace Gospel Chapel, because it does illustrate one of the lessons that we can be taught from scriptures. And in Matthew's chapter 5, verse 15, we are told, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto those that are in the house." And that is exactly what one of the brethren here did, in that Jane Dinella, she actually shared with our daughter Cindy when they were both in a MOPS meeting about how she attended a church that was very biblical, in which the women wore head coverings. And that really struck a chord with Ruthie and wanted her to explore more the Grace Gospel Chapel, because it's something that she's always had she's always been drawn to it. And we will visit our daughter in Atlanta, who has six grandchildren under the age of seven. And the three older ones are girls, and they really take a great pleasure in getting into grandma's room, and grandma always is not feeling good and spends time in bed. So they will go there with her, rummage through her suitcase and put on head coverings and do prayers with her. And it is really interesting to see how we can pass things on to the next generation and something as small as that. And in our particular case, even though it's a small thing, Ruth does feel like that it is a strong witness of a woman's obedience to God's word. And in our case, it was a key component that led us to where we've explored the Grace Gospel Church. Now, though I'm here today to primarily share with you my testimony and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as my Savior, mm-hmm. and the role that is played in our lives, I also wanted to share with you all Ruthie's testimony, because in my particular case, it is such a key influence in my life. And so we are actually both here today to ask to join in the fellowship of believers with you. My wife, Ruth, she always felt that and considered herself to be a Christian, since in childhood she answered an altar call at a Baptist church at age 11, that she really felt strongly influenced and could feel like the presence of Jesus is a part of her life. And then at the age of 28, she was baptized by immersion in joining the worldwide Church of God. And even though we left that church after 6 years, in a part of her journey in 2012, she felt a real strong call to go back and rededicate her life to serving God. And shortly before she felt that sense of urgency and that call again to rededicate herself in the service of Christ, one of our daughters, Jenny, who's in Atlanta, had gotten married at a Catholic church. And so it's, you know, kind of a long, complicated story, but the short version of that story is that we did join the Roman Catholic Church there on St. Joseph's on Buford Road that has the Latin Rite. But it was interesting how in joining that church, because she had not been in the Catholic Church, you have to do this complicated thing and get baptized and so forth. And we had to redo our wedding vows. And she said, you know, there's these things that I'm really not comfortable with. And I said, well, most people in the church probably have something they're not comfortable with. Let's just do this. But we no sooner did that than she really felt uncomfortable. And what she felt like was that when she looked at the Bible and Scripture, and she looked at, you know, what that group of people actually practiced, they had more tradition than they actually did sort of a scriptural basis. And so she started this process to where we went around and visited churches for about 5 years. Finally, in the December 2017, in frustration, she said, well, let's just stay at home, pray, and read the Bible. And that was the most powerful thing we could ever do. Because for me, I had really never had, and we'll get into my testimony here in a minute. It's not going to be all about Ruthie. I had never really read the Bible. So this created the opportunity for us to have a lot of personal Bible study and personal prayer as a couple and looking for God's guidance in this matter. And coincidentally, this is the marvelous way that the Lord works. You know, Jane tells Cindy about this congregation, and we become curious, and we attend, and you all have been so welcoming to us with open arms, and so we're excited to find a fellowship of believers who follow the Scriptures and not the culture around us. So that's Ruthie's story. And the reason that I've shared her testimony and story is that it is greatly influencing my own. And I think as I look at, you know, Ruthie, she is the best blessing that the Lord has ever given me. Now, to put things in sort of a perspective, I'll go back to my childhood and youth. And I'm raised in a family of 9 children. My mother was and father were obviously devout Catholics. And even though they raised us as devout Catholics, and they did teach us to pray, the prayers that they taught us were very rote. It was not like we had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I do feel like that they taught us a lot by leading us in prayers at meals and in the evenings and around special holidays and the like, but it was not like a personal relationship with Jesus. And in fact, I don't actually remember reading from the Bible the entire time that I was raised as a child, though we went to church every Sunday. And I can tell you funny stories about how my dad would like to put all 9 kids in a VW Beetle and drive up in front of the church and just to show how many people he could unload from a little car. But it still was no real relationship with Jesus. It wasn't until I went to college and I had a roommate who was a very evangelistic, proselytizing. He read the Bible every day and he dragged me off to their services. And in reality, at some point, I did actually go up to an altar call. But I'm afraid that that altar call was more out of peer pressure than it was a real understanding and an acceptance of Jesus in my life. And it's amazing, you know, how we do those things. But I guess if you're going to respond to peer pressure, an altar call is better peer pressure than the other options that are available out there in the culture. After my 3rd year in college, I left school to take care of my mother, who was dying of cancer. And I can recall at the time bargaining with Jesus and praying that he would heal her. And I told him, you know, if you will heal my mother. I'll dedicate myself, my life to you. Well, you know, it's amazing how the vision that we have for our lives and for the sequences of events are different than the plan that God has. But in the immaturity and the ignorance of youth, I didn't really understand how difficult God's plan was and what it should be in my life. There was just more of a sense of disappointment that his plan was different than my plan. Mm. And a lot of life is like that, to where we have plans that are really not the best plans for us. We just don't know because we can't see the big picture the way that Jesus and God can. So anyway, my mother did die in 1975, and she made me promise to go back to school. And I think she really had a very close relationship with Jesus, and she knew more about the plan for me than I did. And so I did keep that promise, and I went back to college. And I'll make a long story short, I did get a college education and a degree. But the most important thing that I got was I found my wife, Ruthie. Mm-hmm. And she's my soulmate. And we were married by a Baptist minister at the non-denominational chapel there at the university, because we really weren't sure what church we wanted to be a part of. We just knew that we wanted to be a part of each other's lives. So retrospectively, I think I can look back on it and realize that the disappointment in churches and in the outcome of my mother's illness, I think, were a part of my reaction to the way that it was very difficult for me to be a part of churches. And though, as I raised my children, I recognized that it was, quote unquote, good for the kids that we went to church, I never really was a part of those services because I was really just doing it more for the influence it would have, and I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. And so, and it really wasn't until 2012 when Ruthie really felt called to rededicate her life, and I was able to get her into the Catholic Church pretty easily because I was a cradled Catholic. But again, there was not really a belief factor. So it really wasn't until we started to do our own Bible study, mm-hmm. and I started to read the Bible myself, that it has led me to where I am here today, is someone who knows Jesus, but has never made that as a public proclamation. And thus, I would like to say to you here today as fellow believers that I understand that Christ died for my sins on the cross of Calvary, and therefore I would like to receive him as my Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now I stand before you, and as Luke said in Acts 8, verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe that you should be baptized. Now my wife and I are very happy to find a fellowship of believers that truly go by the Bible, and we desire to join you here at the Grace Gospel Church and in your remembrance meetings and to be a support of the brethren here at the church.
Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, if you know the truth shall set you free. And even in this age and time, the Lord is setting people based on his truth. Before Charles comes up here, can we sing hymn number 460, the first two stanzas, please? What a friend we have in Jesus.